I don't know that I have anything particular, Raj. I'm in charge of the committee that hires for this firm now, and so I have been interviewing and talking with some of the young people who are approaching us looking for jobs and so forth. And I'm tremendously favorably impressed with a lot of them, just a great number of them, and I'm thankful that I do not have to compete with them to get into the profession of the law at this time. It would be very difficult. At the same time, I think that there has been a degree of civility in the practice that has been lost. I think there has been a degree of acknowledgement of the public interest that has been lost. And I'm not at all certain how much of this is based upon nostalgia. Maybe I'm forgetting some of the things that happened 30 and 40 years ago that were troublesome to me at that time, and remembering more prominently those things that I thought were good about the practice. I can't make that judgment, but I think that generally the practice is moving ahead. Generally, we have not abandoned the standards that we would like to see maintained. That there is always room for massive improvement, both on the courts and in the practicing profession. But that's as it should be. And I don't have any golden nuggets of wisdom or anything like that to pass along to anybody else. I think that the situation is reasonably healthy, and that those problems that exist will find solutions. And I guess I'm a little bit troubled at times on the selection process that we have for our judges. But in the total picture, I'm not sure that it's worked out all that badly. People basically intend to do things correctly, and those who don't most frequently have their comeuppance. You know, when you think of all of the people that have served on the Court of Appeals and the Supreme Court, really the only potential black mark is the Bronson thing. Among judges on the lower courts, there have been things, but they've basically been eradicated. The trouble spots have been found, and that's good.
I know they're talking about trouble spots. I know there are some people that feel strongly to this day that John Swainson was more a victim than a miscreant in mm-hmm. what he did.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that's not supposed to.
Yeah, and that's why I didn't list John Swainson as being a particularly black mark. It was a terribly unfortunate series of circumstances. And John operated in a way that perhaps lent itself to that. And I don't mean this in a way that casts any negative aspersions. It's just part of his personality. He wanted to be a friend to everybody, and I've heard a lot of people say, and I'm not at all certain that I disagree, that John is more a victim than a guilty party. But that's history now.
Yeah, it is.
And he's come back I think probably done very well.
Given the devastation of these events that we're talking about, it's not much short of miraculous the way in which he has righted himself
mm-hmm.
after a period of trial.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he is president, or I'm going to talk to him not very long mm-hmm. from now. That
Historical
Society. Yeah, I think he is mm-hmm. the president of the State Historical mm-hmm. Commission.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's a delightful guy, and Alice is a most exemplary helpmate. So I'm glad to see the good things that have happened to him. And I frankly think that he's handled himself very well over the past several years. I think there was a period of time in which he was having some problems that he's got behind him now. And that's great.
I read somewhere that he said this episode that he went through in 75 and thereafter was more desolating than the loss of his legs in the war.
I can believe it.
And he came back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, shall we knock it off?
I think so.
I would like to get...